Dave, when you work on an exorcism, are you doing it as a team or as an individual?
Well, basically, it starts out, you receive the case, and you're working with the individual. You're prepping them, at least for a few weeks beforehand. And the thing is that you want to fill them with positive thoughts. You want to get them to a point where they're feeling at least okay about themselves and okay about what's going to happen. At that point in time, they're so depressed that you have to try to keep them above board, because we've had times where people have backed out because they felt so depressed they weren't able to carry on with this, and sometimes it takes a little longer. So what we try to do is instill them with positive thoughts. If they're a religious person, we try to keep them in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to it, we try to keep them, keep them going. And then when it comes to the time when the exorcism is going to happen, we're there with them. We're by their side. And basically, when the exorcism occurs, they at least know the people that have been working with them. They feel comfortable with that, because all types of things happen during the exorcism. And I wouldn't want to be, if I was the person, I wouldn't want to be with someone that I wasn't comfortable with.
Okay, let's give me some examples. You have a case that you did in Montreal, Canada. Tell us a little bit about that.
Montreal. I would say it's a very unusual case. It was a middle-aged woman. She had moved into a condo after a divorce from her husband. She moved in with her 17-year-old son. And when she was living in the house, there were certain things that were occurring in the house, but she really didn't pay it any mind. Certain things were missing in the house. Things would happen. But like I said, she wasn't a person who was too much into reading about the paranormal, so she really just kind of didn't pay attention to it. But the what happened was that she had been depressed from the divorce. Her son, she was getting in fights with her son. It was progressing. And she had started to pray. Now, she hadn't prayed in a while since moving into this home. When she purchased the home from this couple, it was sold to her at a very low price, lower than usual. And she really didn't know why. The woman, she realized after a while, the woman was that sold the house to her looked kind of unusual. And she was thinking back, why did she look unusual?
Hmm.
The thing was that she was wearing a wig, but she was a young woman. Now, the thing is that she started to pray in the house. She started to pray by her bed, and she would get poked on her side. This went on, and things would happen to her when she was sleeping. And, she would feel pressure on her chest. She would feel pinpoints of energy. It felt as though pins were being pushed into her skin. She was feeling as though she was being touched all over her body. And hold on one second here.
Where'd you go?
Hold on one second. Okay, she would feel pinpoints of energy all over her body, and as this went on, she would try to pray more and more. She would be saying the rosary. Like I said, she wasn't attending church because she was feeling so depressed that she did not want to even leave her house. At night, she would when she felt these pinpoints of energy, she would notice she would feel these pinpoints of energy in her hair. And like I said, this progressed. This level kept on rising.
Mm-hmm.
She felt these patches of hair being pulled out of her scalp. Now, when these patches of hair were being pulled out of her scalp, they were leaving no marks. There was no blood marks, but the hair was gone. She had gone to see a dermatologist, and she also saw her medical doctor. They couldn't find any cause for this. No natural cause. She was. I'm trying to go over my notes there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So that's where you went.
Yeah. I'm going over my notes here because I have all written out here. Now, when the phenomenon was occurring in the house, no one was believing her, even her son. And like I said, she was fighting with her son. Things were occurring in the house where the doors would lock. She would try to get into the house. The door would be locked. She would try to get out of the house. The doors would be locked. The family thought that she was just under the pressure, that she was kind of maybe losing it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So what they did was they tried to comfort her by bringing a dog over to the house. There was someone in the family's dog. They brought the dog over. The dog stayed for a couple of nights. On one particular night, they heard the mother and the son heard the dog yelping. They ran out to see what was wrong with the dog. They noticed a huge patch of hair was ripped out of the dog's back. Now, the son had called the family and told them there's definitely something going on, and mom's right, there's definitely something in this house. The family met with her, and like I said, the phenomena kept on occurring. The family met with her, and they tried working with her, going to see a priest in Canada. They weren't able to receive any type of help in Canada. And she had called her aunt here in America, and she had talked to her aunt. Her aunt had said that, "I will pray for you." Her aunt was a part of a prayer group, okay, so they had prayed for her. And they had prayed. What's that?
That helps.
Well, they had prayed for her, and she had been working with. Matter of fact, she had been working with my fiance. She had gotten into a conversation with my fiance, and in conversation, she was telling her, she was telling my fiance what was occurring to this woman. She told the woman to call, to have the woman in Canada call us, and we ended up going up there and doing an investigation. On the investigation, we didn't really find anything going on. We set up all equipment that we usually use. We set it all up inside the house, and nothing was occurring. We didn't get anything on video, nothing audibly. We spent 2 days in the home. And she was very, very sad about this because she knew there was something going on. And we weren't really able to find anything that was any cause for alarm. We thought maybe she was just, like I said, losing it.
Yeah.
And we were saying our final goodbyes to her inside the home. And the wig that she was wearing after all these tufts of hair had been pulled out of her head, we saw that the hairs on the top of her head actually stand up straight. And they were actually falling to the floor. They were actually coming out of her head and falling to the floor.
Oh, my God.
And that was kind of a sign for us that there was really something going on here. So we ended up just, you know, talking to her for a little while longer, said our goodbyes, and we came back to America, and we set up an exorcism for her.
Mm-hmm.
And we told her to find some transportation to get down here. She had taken a train, and it's a long story. She had taken a train down here, and during that period in time, it was the winter, and there was a snowstorm on the way. But to make a long story short, she had come down, she had the exorcism performed, and she's fine today.
But what about her hair? Did it grow back?
No, she lost her hair. That's a very long story. I didn't realize how long that was.
I guess it was yanked out so badly, the follicles are...
But there was no blood. That was the unnatural part of it, and they could not find a cause for it.
But so she's bald?
Yes, for the rest of her life.
And wears a wig?
Yes.
Much like the woman who sold her the house.
That's the thing. Now she never realized before why the woman was wearing the wig, but she finally realized at the end
that she knows now.
The woman was going through the same thing she was.